For the last decade, on this Sunday, the one closest to Samhain, I have spoken about the idea, the concept of a pagan or indigenous view of death, and the thinning of a veil. These beliefs held the world over share that during this time of year, our ancestors are closer to us, that our world and the world on the other side of life are barely separate, except for this finest, thinnest of veils. This morning, I've decided to break with tradition and instead share a small snippet of a poem, In Memoriam, A.H.H. I hold it true, whate'er befall, I feel it when I sorrow most. 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. The author is Alfred Lord Tennyson, and the poem now named In Memoriam, A.H.H., was completed in 1849 and is comprised of 133 cantos. The piece is quite long and written in iambic tetrameter. Such stanzas are now called In Memoriam stanzas. Given the length of the work, the meter creates a tonal effect which is often thought to have a natural sound of mourning or grief. This poem, originally entitled The Way of the Soul, memories, it encompasses many different subjects, profound spiritual experiences, memories, philosophical speculation, romantic fantasizing, and even the occasional verse. I wanted to understand why Tennyson was compelled to write this lengthy work. What could he have lost in love? I'd always thought that when I heard that just small snippet of the poem, that it was a love or a loss of love, a relationship kind of love. But Tennyson, in writing this piece, was mourning the death of his dear friend, Arthur Henry Holman. This poem was Tennyson's attempt to cope with the loss, which was the strand that tied all the various cantos together to create an epic poem that also offered the following in Canto 56, which I quoted a few weeks ago, which was kind of a surprise. I didn't realize they were connected together. Who trusted God was love indeed, and love, creation's final law, though nature red in tooth and claw, with ravine shrieked against his creed. I wanted to better understand the relationship that Alfred and Arthur had. Were they lovers? What was going on? The friendship that would cause the prior to grieve so greatly, and so I reached back into history and to a place that the two first met, Trinity College, Cambridge, England. Their friendship was described by a friend, Christopher Ricks, as swift and deep. They became friends in April 1829. They were both writers, entering competitions that Tennyson would invariably win. They both joined a secret debating society called the Cambridge Apostles, which sounded like more fun and games than anything else. Hallam visited Tennyson's home in Somersby, Lincolnshire, during Christmas vacation, where he met Alfred's younger sister, Emily, and Arthur fell in love. He spent Easter with the Tennysons as well, where he declared his love for Emily. In February of 1832, he wrote, "I love her madly." In July 1833, Arthur visited with Emily before he went on an extended journey with his father to Europe. His father was like, "Just wait, you're too young, just wait," hence the journey. In September, in Vienna, at the age of 22, Arthur suffered a stroke and died. The first week of October, Tennyson received a letter from Arthur's uncle, who shared the sad news. "At the desire of a most afflicted family, I write to you, because they are unequal from the grief into which they have fallen to it themselves. Your friend, sir, and my much-loved nephew, Arthur, is no more. It was pleased God to remove him from his first scene of existence to that better world for which he was created." The scene, with Alfred reading the letter, was described. There was a long pause as Tennyson read the letter. He then left the dining room and asked to speak to Emily, to whom he told the contents of the letter. He caught her as she fainted. "'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." Tennyson would work on In Memoriam, The Way of the Soul, until it was published in June 1850, 16 years after Arthur's death. It reads as if Arthur is never very far from Tennyson's heart. Loss, loss. Loss is incomprehensible. How death and the resulting grief changes our lives. I share at every memorial service the following belief: that death steals in like the night and takes our loved one away from us. How a wound is left that cannot be filled with another, but instead is filled with grief. And that it is our memories, the stories and the love that we share, that helps us through. I offer these words with those who grieve because this was my experience. I know loss. I know grief. I know the broken heart that comes from losing a loved one or two or three. I'm still young. My Aunt Teresa used to say, she explained to me how difficult it was to be the last of her 11 siblings alive, the last of her friend's generation to be alive, and to be a widow for 30 plus years. It gets easier as you get older, my aunt explained, in order to comfort me. Tennyson was young when he lost his father and his friend Arthur. The grief of loss is really that we all, is something that we really all have in common. We each have or will know loss at some point or another. Loss and grief are part of our common ground. We are born, we live, we strive, we take risks, we lose loved ones and we die. But we are not quite gone yet. So what about the remainder of our lives? Do we dare to truly live this one precious life each and every day to the fullest? I'm often surprised, and I'm not quite sure why, that the quality of our lives is proportionally based on the struggle, the risks, the courage, the commitment, the dreams that we have, and the love that we share. Over the last 3 years as your minister, I've shared how the culmination of living this life is in fact the courage to face, to take risks, to move into the unknown. I've shared in various sermons how we can live this one precious life to the fullest, giving it our all, sliding into the final hours, all used up, yelling, "Hot damn, what a ride!" This last September, I shared a posting on my Facebook page that was a video from a contemporary poet, Princess Ia. It is inspirational, it is important, and instead of reading it to you, I've decided to share the video with you in its entirety. So please be patient while I set up.
It is getting to the end of life only to realize that you never truly lived. There was a study done, a hospital study, on 100 elderly people facing death close to their last breath. They were asked to reflect about their life's biggest regret. Nearly all of them said they regretted not the things they did, but the things they didn't do, the risks they never took, the dreams they didn't pursue. I ask you, will your last words be, "If only I had"? Hey, you, wake up. Why do you exist? Life is not meant to simply work, wait for the weekend, and pay rent. No, I don't know much, but I know this. Every person on this earth has a gift. And I apologize to the Black community, but I can no longer pretend. Martin Luther King, that man never had a dream. That dream had him. See, people don't choose dreams. Dreams choose them. So the question I'm getting to is, do you have the courage to grab the dream that picked you, that befits you and grips you? Or will you let it get away and slip through? You know, I learned a fact about airplanes the other day. Now this was so surprising, see. I was talking to a pilot and he told me that many of his passengers think planes are dangerous to fly in. But he said, actually, it it is a lot more dangerous for a plane to stay on the ground. I said, what? Like, how does that sound? Well, he said, because on the ground, the plane starts to rust, malfunction, and wear much faster than it ever would if it was in the air. As I walked away, I thought, yeah, makes total sense, because planes were built to live in the skies, and every person was built to live out the dream they have inside. So it is perhaps the saddest loss to live a life on the ground without ever taking off. See, most of us are afraid of the thief that comes in the night to steal all of our things. But there is a thief in your mind who is after your dreams. His name is Doubt. If you see him, call the cops and keep him away from the kids, because he is wanted for murder, for he has killed more dreams than failure ever did. He wears many disguises, and like a virus will leave you blinded, divided, and turn you into a kinda. See, kinda is lethal. You know what kinda is. It's a lot of kinda people. You kinda want a career change. You kinda want to get straight A's. You kinda want to get in shape. Simple math, no numbers to crunch. If you kinda want something, then you will kinda get the results you want. What is your dream? What ignites that spark? You can't kinda want that. You gotta want it with every part of your whole heart. Will you struggle? Yeah, you will struggle. No way around it. You will fall many times, but who's counting? Just remember, there's no such thing as a smooth mountain. If you want to make it to the top, then there are sharp ridges that must be stepped over. There will be times you get stressed and things you get depressed over, but let me tell you something. Steven Spielberg was rejected from film school three times, but he kept going. The television execs fired Oprah, said she wasn't fit for TV, but she kept going. Critics told Beyonce that she couldn't sing. She went through depression, but she kept going. Struggle and criticisms are prerequisites for greatness. That is the law of this universe, and no one escapes it. Because pain is life, but you can choose what type. Either the pain on the road to success, or the pain of being haunted with regret. You want my advice? Don't think twice. We have been given a gift that we call life, so don't blow it. You were not defined by your past. Instead, you are born anew in each moment, so own it. Now, sometimes you gotta leap and grow your wings on the way down. You better get the shot off before the clock runs out, cause ain't no overtime in life, no do-over. And I know I sound like I'm preaching or speaking with force, but if you don't use your gift, then you sell not only yourself, but the whole world short. So what invention do you have buried in your mind? What idea, what cure, what skill do you have inside to bring out to this universe? Uni meaning one, verse meaning song. You have a part to play in this song. So grab that microphone and be brave. Sing your heart out on life stage. You cannot go back and make a brand new beginning, but you can start now and make a brand new ending.
Was it worth the wait?
Yes.
It was worth the wait. So the reason why I showed you that is because as we get older and as we have loss and as we struggle on a daily basis, we question. We question, we question, we doubt. And we don't need to. I loved that piece. Because maybe, just maybe, our legacy passed to us through the tenacity of our ancestors, those who came before us, those who immigrated and worked hard to build this country, those who answered the call of this collective dream, and what we choose to leave behind for our family and friends. Maybe it could be the willingness to answer the call of our own dreams, to share ourselves, to share our gifts, to dig deep, to find the courage to continue on, to struggle, and to fly towards the end. We have, after all, for whatever reason, been given this gift called life. So what will we do with it? We cannot, as Prince Ia taught us, go back and make a brand new beginning, but we can start right now and make a brand new ending. Maybe that is what Tennyson did for Arthur and himself. He carried Arthur forward into his life, sharing his realizations, his wisdom, ultimately coming to the understanding that the point being that one lives happily ever after, the point being that you, we all lived, really, really lived, leaving our legacy and our love with all those who we touch. Let us take a moment in silent reflection. So may it be. Blessed be. Amen.